Life is a gift from God, and what you do with it is your gift to Him. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about living life on purpose.
I'm sad to say that there are some churches, even in America, where people are taught that they must come to a pastor or a priest and confess their sin to a man, and the man will pray to God for them. My friend, Jesus Christ is the high priest. We are believer priests, and we can pray directly to God through Jesus Christ today.
Few people have a plan for their lives. Most are spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. As a result, many end up discouraged and disillusioned. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can live your life on purpose, and it begins with letting Jesus take control. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our series, Living Life on Purpose, will help you discover God's plan for your future and allow you to intentionally live the life He has created you to live. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Sharing the Gospel.
Did you know that when we sang this morning, we were singing to God as believer priests? We were offering to God our praise. When we give in the offering, we are offering to God our praise. We do not give money to the church. We give money to God through the church. And so we are believer priests. I'm sad to say that there are some churches, even in America, where people are taught that they must come to a pastor or a priest and confess their sin to a man, and the man will pray to God for them. My friend, Jesus Christ is the high priest. We are believer priests, and we can pray directly to God through Jesus Christ today. And so it was that here at Antioch, they were praying to God. It was a consecrated time. Oh, the modern self-centered church has so few being called to missions because there is no serious thought being given to listening to the voice of God. I remember living as a boy in Korea, and oftentimes at 4 and 5 in the morning, you would hear the Buddhist monks as they pounded on the drums and on the gourds, and they were calling people to come and to pray in the Buddhist temple. But then also, you would hear the bells of the churches ringing. For in recent years, millions of people in Korea have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. One time as a teenage boy, I asked a Christian man, "Why is it that you get up so early and you go to the church to pray at 4 or 5 every day?" He said, "If I would do that for Buddha, it is the least that I should do for Jesus Christ. That I would take my Christian life seriously." Oh, we need a consecration in our churches once again, where we come here today to hear from God, to be serious about the things of God. But I want you to see, secondly, it was a committed time. These Christians were very committed to the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, and notice the next two words, and fasted. Fasting is something that a person does when they want God's will, when they want God's power. And they say, "God, more than I want the pleasures of this world, more than I want food, more than I want the pleasures of my wife or husband, more than I want anything else, God, I want your presence in my life." This church at Antioch heard the voice of God because they were seeking God in prayer and because they had fasted and they were praying in a very committed way. They said, "We want God to work in our lives." Charles Spurgeon said, "If there be any one point in which the Christian church ought to keep its fervor at a white heat, it is concerning missions. If there be anything about which we cannot tolerate lukewarmness, it is in the matter of sending the gospel to a dying world." I say to you this morning, we must be committed to the cause of worldwide missions. Jesus wants us to be committed. Jesus said in Matthew 10:38, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. And he that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Very serious words, words of commitment. When Jesus calls us to discipleship, he's not calling us to a Sunday morning, 1 hour Christianity. He's not calling us to a prosperity gospel. He's not calling us to this lukewarm kind of commitment. Jesus says, if you are going to follow me, I want you to be so committed that you so love me. He's not telling us to hate our mother and father. He's not telling us literally to hate our family. He's telling us that our love for him should be so great that our love for him compared to our love for family, it almost would be like a hate instead of a love. Do you love Jesus this morning? Because you will not pray for missionaries. You will not give to missionaries. You will never go to the mission field until you first have the heart of God in the matter. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. In the 1700s, the father of modern day missions, a man by the name of William Carey, left the country of England and he went to India. And he spent 42 years of his life in India. And there he translated the Bible into 25 different languages. He started many churches. He established a Bible college in the city of Serampore. He was greatly used of God. Even to this day, pastors stand and preach who are the great-grandchildren of William Carey, spiritually speaking. William Carey was once asked, how do you describe the success of your ministry? What is the secret of your ministry? He said, the secret of my ministry is my crippled sister who lives in England. He said, every day of my life, I write a letter to her and I tell her of my burdens and of our projects. And I send them to her and she prays for me and she consecrates her life to praying for the missionary work in India. Do you understand this morning? Missions is not just the responsibility of the missionary, but all of us can pray for our missionaries that God would bless and use them. Antioch was a church that had a consecrated worship time. They had a committed worship time, but then I want you to see, thirdly, it was a communicated time. It was a time of communication. We read a moment ago in verse 2 that as they ministered to the Lord and as they fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, please take note of this morning. Churches do not call missionaries and denominations do not call missionaries. The Holy Ghost calls missionaries. And it was the Spirit of God that moved on the hearts of this church. And the Spirit of God said, I want two of your best. And I want them to go out to the uttermost parts and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to see that the Holy Spirit only speaks in a church that is consecrated, in a church that is committed, in a church that is looking to God and seeking his face. Oh, Andrew Murray said it this way, there is a need of a great revival of spiritual life, of truly fervent devotion to our Lord Jesus, of our entire consecration to his service. It is only in a church in which this spirit of revival has at least begun that there is any hope of radical change in the relation of the majority of our Christian people to missionary work. And so it was. A revival was happening in Antioch, and the Spirit of God was speaking. And he said, I want two of your men to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you understand this morning? God did not call a prayerless people. He spoke to a praying people. God did not call idle men. He called serving men. God did not call fleshly men. He called spiritual men. God spoke to a church that was serious. You see, missions is not the sideline of the church. Missions is the lifeline of the church.
You're listening to Daily in the Word with Pastor Paul Chappell and our series called Living Life on Purpose. The second half of today's message is coming up next.
Do you ever have trouble balancing all the competing demands for your life, from family to friends to church to career to finances? Balancing life is a challenge. And that's why I've written the book, Stewarding Life. This book will challenge and equip you to strategically invest your most valuable resources for God's eternal purposes. You see, life is God's gift to you, but what you do with it is your gift to God. The book Stewarding Life can be yours today as you make a donation to the Daily in the Word broadcast. Simply go to paulchapel.com and order yours today.
Now let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Paul Chapel.
Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." And I believe the salvation of many businesses in this room, I believe the blessing of God upon this church in the future is precipitated by what we do this week for worldwide missions. And I believe God is saying to many of us today, you take care of my business, and I'll take care of your business. And I understand we've got buildings to build on this campus. I understand that. But before we break ground on a building for this church, we're going to say, by the grace of God, we're going to add many more missionaries to our roster. Someone says, "I don't understand that, Pastor. If we've got a building program, we need to save our money and build our building." No, we've got to get God's heart on the matter. We've got to get more missionaries out to the mission field. And God says, "You take care of my business, I'll take care of your business." It's like one old preacher said. He said, "You know," he said, "God shovels it in and I shovel it out. And God shovels it in and I shovel it out. God shovels it in and I shovel it out." And then he said, "But you know what? God's got a bigger shovel than I do. God will take care of us. Don't you walk by sight this week. You walk by faith in Almighty God." Oh, we must keep missions at the forefront. Well, at Antioch, they were a part of a local church included in the assembly. At Antioch, they were inclined to hear the voice of God. They were praying and they were fasting and they wanted to hear God speak. But now, thirdly, I want you to see this. They were involved in God's plan. They were involved in God's plan. You say, "All right, Pastor, I'm serious. I'm here. I'm not just playing church today. I want to know how to steward the gospel. I want to know how to be involved in God's plan. How can I, as a guy that works at Northrop or Lockheed or a nurse or a doctor, or how can I, as a police officer, how can I be involved in God's plan?" Well, I've got good news. First thing we need to do is be involved with intercession. We need to be involved by praying for our missionaries. And this is one of the key emphasis. Without prayer, there's no power. So look at verse 3. "And when they had fasted and prayed." Would you say that with me, please? "And when they had fasted." On our website are listed all of the missionaries. Every Wednesday night, we give a list of the missionaries. In your hands this morning, a list of the missionaries. And we need to pray for them. And we need to pray for the nations. And we need to seek God's face and ask for revival. And we need to pray for souls to be saved. So they fasted and they prayed. Secondly, though, not only with our prayers, but secondly, with our interest. We want to be involved and interested in the lives of our missionaries. Now look at what it says in verse 3. "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them," notice this next phrase, "they sent them away." Let's say that together. They sent them away. The verse says, "When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they," that's the church at Antioch, "sent them," that's the missionaries, "away." So the church at Antioch took a personal interest in the missionaries, and they, the church, sent them, the missionary, on their way. Now, how do you do that? Did they just say, "Bye-bye, have a nice trip, bon voyage"? You know, some people think a missions trip is like a vacation. You should have heard from some of our missionaries last night in Cambodia who have buried children there, who have had infections and spent much time in medical facilities because of the type of living standard there. You see, if we're going to get interested in them, it's not just see you later. It's praying for them, and it's being interested in them in a great, great degree of interest. So why do we need to do this? Look at Romans 10, 13. And I want you to read this with me. It's in your notes, Romans 10, 13 through 15. Why do we need to send them away, Pastor Chapel? Let's read together, beginning at Romans 10, 13. Lift up your voice with me now. Ready, begin. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they hear without a? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" How are the people over in the Philippines, over in Spain, over in Africa, over in Indonesia, how are they going to hear except they be sent? And who sends them? The local church sends them. All right, let's see how it worked with Paul. Antioch, the Bible says, was a church that listened to God. They were inclined to hear God. God spoke. And so they prayed and sent them. And they went to Cyprus, and they went to Italia, and Antioch, and Turkey, and Iconium, and Derbe, and Lystra. And everywhere they went to the synagogue, they went from house to house, and they proclaimed, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sin, and rose again on the third day. And people accepted Jesus. And then churches were established in these cities on the missionary journey. How can we be interested in them? First of all, by praying for them. We mentioned that a moment ago. Notice that again. It says here, and when they had fasted and prayed, verse number 3. You see, when we get interested in our missionary, we're going to pray for them, for their marriage, for their children, for the power of God, for protection, and we're going to pray for their field to open up so that the gospel will be received. Pray for the missionary. The second thing we need to do for the missionary is supply the missionary with their needs. We need to supply the missionary with their needs. Now, the church at Antioch had to help them with these needs. I want you right now to turn in your Bible to Philippians 4:17. I want you to see how this is done. And we're almost done, but stay right with me. Because church, we've got to keep it practical. How can we help the missionaries? By prayer, no doubt. But also by supplying their needs. So look with me at Philippians 4, and let's begin in verse 15. Philippians 4:15, and I want you to see it. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. All right, let's pause here. How many of you understand that the church at Philippi was giving and sending to the needs of the Apostle Paul? If you see that in the scripture, say amen. All right. So they were a missionary-minded church, okay? Now let's read on. Notice, if you would, in verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul said, I don't want you to give to me so I can have a gift. And Paul said, it's not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, this is very important. Every one of you, if you could have bought Apple stock when it was $10 a share, you would jump at that now. I want to tell you something. You need to realize far more important than your investments in this world is your investment in the next world. Jesus said, lay not up treasure for yourselves on this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Oh, my friend, there is coming a day and very soon when we will see the Lord, and we want to be ready for that day. And so we see that they supplied the missionaries' needs. Now listen here. Don't get the idea that the missionaries deserved our leftovers. I remember as a 16-year-old boy in Seoul, South Korea, we were getting ready for our Christmas time. And my parents had packages under the tree, and like any kid, I was excited about opening presents. And I remember seeing the presents that they had placed there. But there was a church in the States, and they sent our family a package of Christmas gifts. And one of the presents had my name on it. And when Christmas morning came, more than anything, I just wanted to open my present from America. That was what I wanted to do. Some church loved me and sent me a present. And I'll never forget that morning tearing that box open. It was the first box I opened, and I pulled out the present, and it was a shirt, and it was made in Korea. And it had a cigarette hole burned into it. And apparently someone's idea of helping the missionaries was to send the leftovers to the missionaries. I say this with all due respect. The missionaries don't deserve our leftovers. They deserve our best. One man by the name of Alexander McLaren told the story of William Carey going to India. Carey said, I am going down into the pit. You hold the ropes. They that hold the ropes, and as the daring miner that swings in the darkness, they are one. They may be one in motive, and they are one in work, and they are one in reward. You see, William Carey said, I'll go to India. I'll eat their food. I'll learn their language. McLaren, if you'll just hold the ropes for me. And we want to say to the missionaries, if you go to China and you go to Indonesia and you go to Cambodia and you go wherever you're going, we as a church are going to hold the ropes. And we want you to know that we're not going to let them go. And whatever it takes, we're going to make sure to pray for you and supply your needs and to stand with you in the New Testament way. We will hold the ropes. David Livingstone, the great missionary to Africa, whose body is laid to rest in Westminster Abbey. Livingstone, the Scottish missionary, said concerning his life and ministry, "People talk of the sacrifice I've made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice, which is simply acknowledging the great debt that I owe to my God that I could never repay? Is that a sacrifice which brings its own reward in healthful activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and a bright hope of the glorious destiny? It is emphatically no sacrifice. Rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, danger, foregoing the common conveniences of life, these may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink, but they are only for a moment. All these are nothing compared with the glory that shall later be revealed through us. I never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not to talk. When we remember the great sacrifice which he made who left his Father's throne on high to give himself for us." My friend, this morning as we close and we consider this thought, stewarding the gospel message, God has committed to us the gospel. He doesn't want us to fumble it. He doesn't want us to leave it on the dashboard of our car. He doesn't want us to leave it in the church house. He has committed to us the gospel. And I want you to understand with me this morning, while this world is sports crazy, and listen, while many in this world will spend thousands of dollars on snow skiing or golfing or other frivolity or football, the average American will spend more money on sport than we will give to missions this year. And I want to remind you as Christian people, as redeemed people, that the goal is that we would get the gospel to a lost and dying world. And the goal is to get the gospel to the world. And I know sometimes when you're carrying the gospel, someone might knock you down. You might be bruised. You might be discouraged. But we have got to get the gospel to the world. We have got to get the gospel to people who have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. The goal is to get the gospel to the world. And God has given us a plan. And the Holy Spirit wants to speak if we will listen. And some of us need to go. And some of us need to pray. And some of us need to give. And we all need to do our part to steward this message. Don't waste the gospel. Let's get the gospel to a lost and dying world. Now, you might be here this morning and you are lost. You may be sitting right here in this American church, not even sure that you're going to heaven someday. You have never accepted Christ as your Savior. The Bible says concerning Jesus, "Neither is there any other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved." Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." Now, you've had a physical birthday or you wouldn't be seated here right now. But the question, my friend, have you ever received Christ as your Savior? Has there been a day in your life when you realized you were a sinner and you fell short of God's glory? God is righteous. God is perfect. No matter how hard I try to be good, I fall short of God. But Jesus, God's Son, he came down and died on the cross, and he shed his blood so that all the world may know that forgiveness is theirs.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.